Harry got to his feet once more as Dumbledore emptied the last memory into the pensive. "Whose memory is it?" he asked. "Mine," said Dumbledore. And Harry dived after Dumbledore through the shifting silver mass, landing in the very office he had just left. There was Fawkes slumbering happily on his perch, and there behind the desk was Dumbledore, who looked very similar to the Dumbledore standing beside Harry, though both hands were whole and undamaged, and his face was, perhaps, a little less lined. The one difference between the present-day office and this one was that it was snowing in the past. Bluish flecks were drifting past the window in the dark and building up on the outside ledge. The younger Dumbledore seemed to be waiting for something, and sure enough, moments after their arrival, there was a knock on the door, and he said, "Enter!" Harry let out a hastily stifled gasp. Voldemort had entered the room. His features were not those Harry had seen emerge from the great stone cauldron almost 2 years ago. They were not as snake-like, the eyes were not yet scarlet, the face not yet mask-like, and yet he was no longer handsome Tom Riddle. It was as though his features had been burned and blurred. They were waxy and oddly distorted, and the whites of the eyes now had a permanently bloody look, though the pupils were not yet the slits that Harry knew they would become. He was wearing a long black cloak, and his face was as pale as the snow glistening on his shoulders. The Dumbledore behind the desk showed no sign of surprise. Evidently this visit had been made by appointment.
"Good evening, Tom," said Dumbledore easily. "Won't you sit down?"
"Thank you," said Voldemort, and he took the seat to which Dumbledore had gestured, the very seat, by the looks of it, that Harry had just vacated in the present.
"I heard that you had become headmaster," he said,
and his voice was slightly higher and colder than it had been.
"A worthy choice." "I am glad you approve," said Dumbledore, smiling. "May I offer you a drink?"
"That would be welcome," said Voldemort. "I have come a long way." Dumbledore stood and swept over to the cabinet where he now kept the pensive, but which then was full of bottles. Having handed Voldemort a goblet of wine and poured one for himself, he returned to the seat behind his desk.
"So, Tom, to what do I owe the pleasure?"
Voldemort did not answer at once, but merely sipped his wine.
"They do not call me Tom any more," he said. "These days, I am known as..." "I know what you are known as," said Dumbledore, smiling pleasantly. "But to me, I'm afraid, you will always be Tom Riddle. It is one of the irritating things about old teachers. I'm afraid that they never quite forget their charge's youthful beginnings."
He raised his glass as though toasting Voldemort, whose face remained expressionless. Nevertheless, Harry felt the atmosphere in the room change subtly. Dumbledore's refusal to use Voldemort's chosen name was a refusal to allow Voldemort to dictate the terms of the meeting, and Harry could tell that Voldemort took it as such.
"I am surprised you have remained here so long," said Voldemort after a short pause. "I always wondered why a wizard such as yourself never wished to leave school."
"Well," said Dumbledore, still smiling, "to a wizard such as myself, there can be nothing more important than passing on ancient skills, helping hone young minds. If I remember correctly, you once saw the attraction of teaching, too."
"I see it still," said Voldemort. "I merely wondered why you, who are so often asked for advice by the Ministry, and who have twice, I think, been offered the post of minister..."
"Three times at the last count, actually," said Dumbledore. "But the Ministry never attracted me as a career. Again, something we have in common, I think."
Voldemort inclined his head, unsmiling, and took another sip of wine. Dumbledore did not break the silence that stretched between them now, but waited with a look of pleasant expectancy for Voldemort to talk first.
"I have returned," he said after a little while, "later, perhaps, than Professor Dippet expected. But I have returned, nevertheless, to request again what he once told me I was too young to have. I have come to you to ask that you permit me to return to this castle to teach. I think you must know that I have seen and done much since I left this place.
I could show and tell your students things they can gain from no other wizard. Dumbledore considered Voldemort over the top of his own goblet for a while before speaking.
Yes, I certainly do know that you have seen and done much since leaving us, he said quietly. Rumours of your doings have reached your old school, Tom. I should be sorry to believe half of them.
Voldemort's expression remained impassive as he said, Greatness inspires envy, envy engenders spite, spite spawns lies. You must know this, Dumbledore.
You call it greatness, what you have been doing, do you?
Asked Dumbledore delicately.
Certainly, said Voldemort, and his eyes seemed to burn red. I have experimented. I have pushed the boundaries of magic further, perhaps, than they have ever been pushed. Of some kinds of magic, Dumbledore corrected him quietly. Of some. Of others, you remain, forgive me, woefully ignorant.
For the first time, Voldemort smiled. It was a taut leer, an evil thing, more threatening than a look of rage.
The old argument, he said softly. But nothing I have seen in the world has supported your famous pronouncements that love is more powerful than my kind of magic, Dumbledore. Perhaps you have been looking in the wrong places, suggested Dumbledore. Well then, what better place to start my fresh researches than here at Hogwarts, said Voldemort. Will you let me return? Will you let me share my knowledge with your students? I place myself and my talents at your disposal. I am yours to command.
Dumbledore raised his eyebrows.
And what will become of those whom you command? What will happen to those who call themselves, or so rumor has it, the Death Eaters?